It's the Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN, one of my favorite columnists. And your Chicago Tribune is our fan favorite, Heidi Stevens. She joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Heidi, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So you write the Balancing Act column all the time in the Tribune, and it's always thoughtful or provocative or whatever. Heidi, now that I think about it, I think the last time you and I chatted was when you were getting the hair hate mail, which was a long time ago now. But that was quite a crazy ride at the time, and interesting to say the least. But
I've tried to move on to bigger and broader topics.
I'm sure it'll come back at some point. But let's talk about those bigger, broader topics. You wrote this week, and I think it'll be in our Sunday Tribune this weekend, right? About when the empty nest hits you, and it brings this mix of sorrow and pride. And it was really interesting to me because my oldest is 14 and a freshman in high school, but I've got a bunch of others along the way. And while your column was a little bit more about, you know, when the kids are heading out of the nest, it doesn't mean you have to quit taking care of them. And you defended our guilt over the whole helicoptering nature that our generation of parents has been tagged with. But it was interesting to me as somebody who's still got a few years before I'm there, because we don't often enough stop and kind of enjoy the ride a little bit. You know, it's mostly the insanity of parenting and getting kids from place to place and homework and done and the house and the cars and the kids and the mortgages and everything else. And we don't often stop and realize a few short years from now, they're going to head off and it'll be that mixture of pride and sorrow, but it'll be a pretty cool place, but then it'll all be over. There's no going back to this time in life we have right now. And so I don't think that was the exact gist of the column, but that's kind of what I took away from it is as a parent who's not there yet, to stop and enjoy a little bit of the insanity instead of stressing about it all the time.
Totally. And I love that you took that from it. I'm a little bit more where you are. My kids are 10 and 6, so we've got a ways before we're empty nesters. But I certainly have it in the back of my mind when things are going really well, I have it in the back of my mind as sort of a little sadness. And when things are not going well, I try to bring it, you know, more to the forefront of my mind and think like, you know what, this is all temporary, and enjoy them for who they are and enjoy, as you say, the chaos, because it is fleeting. And, you know, people tell you all the time, I think from the time, you start having kids before they're even born, time flies and it's going to go so fast. And it's hard to really grasp how quickly it goes until you're in the middle of it.
Well, absolutely. And also, I think maybe you'll back me up on this, that we all agree, you and I, if we're sitting around having a drink, we'd say, you know, we really ought to enjoy it more. We shouldn't yell so much. We shouldn't stress so much. But when people tell us, oh, it's so fleeting, you really have to enjoy it, it's like when my kid is drawing in permanent marker on a restaurant wall, right? You know, it's like when I'm like, oh, my God, what have I done? What have I raised? Oh, enjoy it. They're great. And it's never at a time when you can go, you know what they are? You're right. This is awesome. It's when you're like, oh, my goodness, they're going to be taken away from me if I don't, clean this up a little bit.
Yeah, somebody said the days are long, but the years are short. And I think that's a good way to sum it up, that, you know, sometimes it just feels like, especially if you're home with them on a snow day or, some of those days where, like you say, they ride at the walls or just like cabin fever is taking over, it can feel like, oh, my God, this is endless. But as we all know, it's not.
You quoted in your column, Boston Globe columnist Beverly Beckham, a piece I'd never read, but you said that it's an essay that they reprint every August. I imagine as kids are heading off to college, is that when they reprint it?
Yeah, yep, the beginning of every new school year. I just learned about the column recently, so I didn't know that it had been running that long, but when I looked into it a little bit, it turns out, it must be, I imagine, a fan favorite. It's so poignant, and I first thought to write about empty nesters just from friends of mine who are going through it and, who talk about how really complicated their feelings are about it, because of course you're proud and filled with joy that your kid is, successful and healthy and becoming an adult and moving on to this next great endeavor. But there's another part of you that feels really, really sad at them moving out. And several people have said to me, like, when I say that out loud, people tell me, kind of get a life, like, kids grow up and move out. And stop being a helicopter parent. And I don't think that's fair to do to parents. I mean, I think we throw that helicopter term around a little too freely, which isn't to say that it's not a thing. I mean, is a thing, and there's research showing that, you know, kids are, you know, having a harder time, you know, coping with really pretty small hurdles once they get to college and not able to, you know, register for classes even without calling their parents. And there are certainly concrete examples of that. But just feeling, like, sad at your kid leaving and feeling genuine, like, love and kinship with your adult kid doesn't make you a helicopter parent.
I completely agree. And I think it's a very valid emotion, because what we raise our kids for is that someday they'll head off to college because they had the grades to do it, and the drive and the stamina and the social graces and etiquette and ability to get out and take on these challenges on their own. I think that's what we live for. Yet, whether you're a helicopter parent or not, these guys for 17, 18 years were an every moment part of your life. And now they've really moved on to something else. And you're right. It's not fair to say, oh, helicopter parent, just move on with it. I mean, that's real emotion. That's a really tough thing. So I was reading you quoted from Beverly Beckham, and I'm going to read just this little bit that you printed, because I thought it was so moving. She wrote, and apparently her kids went off, and she's reflecting, I imagine, for the readers who are going to go through their kids in another year and maybe kids moving on to college. And she wrote, "It's not a death and it's not a tragedy, but it's not nothing either. I was the sun and they were the planets, and there was life on those planets, whirling nonstop plans and parties and friends coming and going and ideas and dreams and the phone ringing and doors slamming, and I got to beam down on them to watch, to glow, and then they were gone, one after the other." And it's hard not to choke up as you get to the end of that.
Because
you start
really
thinking about that, because she's real about it. And that's why I love your column all the time, Heidi, because when you talk about parenting, I mean, I think a lot of what parents have to deal with this generation of us parenting right now is this Facebook era where there's a lot of people who are talking about how great their kids are and how they're succeeding at everything. And you can look at your Facebook newsfeed and start feeling like, God, I suck as a parent and my kids are unhappy and this is such a miserable life. And we forget that that's the gloss that people put out there, and there's a realness. And I think that's why your column resonates so much, because you're not afraid to show how tough parenting is and how real it is and how much, quite honestly, it sucks sometimes. But
Well, thank you for saying that. I mean, that's a very distinct mission of mine, is to never seem like I've got it all figured out, because I absolutely don't. And I want to be just like down in the trenches with people and have it come across that way, and not I'm doing it all right and my kids are great at everything. And even more important, I think, to not be one more scold, because that's the other thing that I think happens so much on social media. It's like you're bombarded with like the pictures of, you know, the people going organic apple picking in the Red Wagon, and then the next post under that is like, you know, how modern parents are screwing up their kids. And so you're like, okay, I'm screwing up my kid because I didn't take them apple picking, and oh my God, here's an expert telling me another reason. So it just starts to feel like you can't win.
Yeah.
And, you know, and meanwhile, you're probably doing really, really well. You know, you're probably, your kids are probably doing just fine.
Yeah.
So it is kind of a tough era to be raising them in some ways, because you do feel constantly critiqued, I guess, even if it's just by your own score keeping.
Yeah, and I agree. You're right. And we do, you know, and maybe we're screwing up our kids in our own special way that every generation. I mean, listen, if we go back and watch episodes of Mad Men, which was our parents' generation, right, and they're smoking and drinking and nobody's seatbelted and everything else going on, we're doing okay.
Right.
We've changed some things at least. We're trying. So maybe we're hovering a little too much and that's going to hurt them. We'll figure it out. But at least,
we'll figure it out later.
You know, we're not, you know, smoking and drinking while we're pregnant and breathing smoke down their throats the whole day long. We're doing something.
Right.
We're doing
our
best.
We'll see if they swing the pendulum back the other way when our kids are parents. Are they like, you know, as I say in the column, are they just like slowing down the car and shoving the kids out when they get to college? Goodbye. Like, to do the opposite of what we did, where we're like renting the hotel for 4 days. Where are you going to go for dinner?
Well, you know what else, Heidi? It's interesting because as people get to that age then when their kids grow up and move, I know of several people, and maybe Colleen and I will be like this someday too. I don't know, but I know of a lot of people, and maybe it's just because now I'm old and I know people in that age group, but I know of a lot of people who have moved in their grandparent years to where their kids relocated to. People who've moved to Nashville because both their kids ended up down there, or to the Carolinas and different things like that. And I wonder if that's a fairly new phenomenon, because I think in the old days, people had a pension, so they went to Florida and then they came back and saw their kids. And now the parents, as much as we talk about the kids living in the basement forever, I think the grandparents are tending to move where their grandkids are.
No, that's fascinating. That's such an interesting observation. And the other side of that is, I think you used to see it a little bit more once grandkids came into the picture. Like sometimes the grandparents, you know, they'd be retired by then, they'd go live closer to help with the grandkids. But it's like with the new way we stay bonded with our kids, I think you don't see them wait till their children need help raising grandkids. They're just like, oh, let's get closer to each other so we can keep hanging out. Which I don't think of as a bad thing. I know there are plenty of experts out there who wring their hands over that, like, oh my God, let them, you know, give them wings and let them fly. And again, I see the wisdom in that. But I have a hard time seeing like connectedness and genuine affection between parents and their adult kids as a bad thing. I just don't see it as a bad thing.
Yeah, and I think it's like anything, it's moderation, right? I mean, if you're still running your kids' lives when they're 30, listen, on the other end of the pendulum, because I agree with you, I agree that we have to not discourage all parental closeness with kids. It's a different era. It's easier to stay close to our kids. So if we can, that can't all be a bad thing. On the other hand, I also hear about millennials who have jobs right now, who, when they've gotten promotions and raises, the boss the next day gets a call from the parents trying to renegotiate the salary.
Yeah, that's weird. Does that happen?
Yes, 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 it has. There's somebody I co-hosted with here who was a manager of millennials, and two different times she gave them promotions, and the next day got a call from the parents trying to renegotiate the salary.
Oh, see, that's a problem.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've got both ends of the spectrum. Let's find our way to the middle and all go along for the ride, and hopefully everybody will be happy and healthy, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's a clear distinction between, like, affection and enjoyment of your kids and then, like, running their lives for them. I don't think they have to go hand in hand. Like, I think kids can, you know, college kids and recent grads can do their own laundry and, for God's sake, salary negotiation, and still be real close with their parents and text a lot. I think maybe I'm being naive, but God, I hope they don't have to go hand in hand. That if you stay really, you know, emotionally close, that you start, I don't know, crossing lines that shouldn't be crossed.
I think that's the line that's drawn. I think we're generally saying, oh, helicopter parent, helicopter parent. But it's when you're calling to renegotiate the salary, you're a helicopter parent. I think we've generalized that term so much that, you know, there's a lot of guilt associated with a lot of things that maybe, well, that's not, you know, that's being there for your kid. That's being supportive. That's not, you know, screaming and yelling about certain things or stepping in where clearly you shouldn't be. So maybe we need to do a better job of figuring that out, making sure that we're not crossing those lines. But it's a pretty clear distinction. When your kid gets a job, you don't get to call the boss and discuss how they're working there.
Yeah, you should not know your kid's boss's phone number, unless your kid is working part-time at the mall in high school.
Right.
And that's on the parents. I mean, the bummer of it is that millennials get such a bad rap, but a lot of this stuff, like, that's got to fall on the parents.
Totally. I mean, that's not the kid's fault. That's the house they grew up in, right? I mean,
no, the grown-up, I mean, well, they're both grown-ups, but in that situation, but the parent in that situation needs to go, like, there's no way in heck I'm calling a boss about a salary for my kid.
It's a great story. It'll be in your Sunday Tribune. You can find it online right now at chicagotribune.com. Heidi Stevens is a columnist. She writes The Balancing Act. You can follow her on Twitter at HeidiStevens13. Heidi, thank you so much for jumping on the phone.
Thanks, Matt.
And as we mentioned, make sure to look for Heidi's column in your Sunday Chicago Tribune. It should be on your front porch early Sunday morning. Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN.